Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
People connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow, lives are changed.
We're going to get muddy today. We're going to have a blast. I'm a visual learner, right? So I love learning visually. We're going to talk about getting stuck in a rut today. You know, I didn't see one Corvette, not one Lambo. They weren't designed for off-road. You may be wondering why that you've been stuck in a rut before. Could it be that you were called for something great, that God had you designed for a specific purpose? You were a risk taker. That's exactly why you got into the mess you're in, is you were a risk taker. It's okay. Sometimes, though, when we're stuck in a rut, we get to thinking that we're the only one in the rut. Today, we're going to talk about that, how to surround yourself with the right people so you get the right results. I can learn things from you. You can learn things from me. And we can say, wait a minute, I'm not going to go down that same path that he did because I know the end result. I mean, it's just a real short to Crazyville there. We'll talk about some of that. But let me pause for a second and talk about generational ruts. My grandfather, I mean, he worried about everything. In fact, he worried when he wasn't worrying. He actually was a Teamster in St. Louis, Missouri, and worked in the union, and he went through the Great Depression, but we're not sure that he actually made it through. He had built some really deep, deep ruts. These ruts were mental ruts. He would continuously run these things and these scenarios through his head. What would happen if this happened? What would I do if that happened? These deep ingrained mindsets that he had put deep ruts, and then my dad fell into it. He said, this is as far as we'll ever go. This is as great as we'll ever be. We can't because. These were really slippery little lines, and my dad didn't want to think that way. But sometimes we're a product of our environment. And it was a really slippery, muddy slope. I mean, he didn't mean to, but the wheel just fell right in. And my dad had all the same problems that my grandpa had. Guess what? My dad was a champion warrior. He broke down with anxiety, panic attacks, because he didn't think about what he was thinking about. Today on these trails, as you and I traverse around to different spots, we're going to talk about these deep-seated ruts that we all fall into and how the enemy and the enemy tries to get us to slide right back into it. So my dad got a little better, but actually there were some areas that he was actually worse than my grandpa in. I started thinking, this is what's going to happen to me, and this is as far as we could go. And then all of a sudden, God started kind of drying my path out, started filling in the crevices of my soul. And I started thinking, wait a minute, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In other words, God can. Let's all shout that together. God can. Come on, real loud. He can, and he will. And here's the great news, he wants to. Right thinking leads to right believing. Right believing leads to right actions. Right actions lead to a holistic right life where you're not stuck in a rut. All right, we are definitely stuck in a rut out here in the middle of nowhere. Are you stuck in a rut? Have you been stuck in a rut? I mean, we all have. I think one of the reasons why we get stuck in a rut is because we're risk takers. I mean, most people are sitting comfortable in life. They're not going to push the envelope. They're not going to get out where it's juicy, where it's thick, and really make something happen. But you're different. What is that? You're a leader. When you get out in life, a lot of times adversity hits. You're like, why am I stuck in this rut? How did I get in this rut? Well, oftentimes it's because we take risk. With no risk, there is no reward. You know, another interesting thing is that we usually get stuck in a rut at the most inconvenient time. I mean, it's raining out here. I have no shelter, nowhere to go. The thunder's clapping. I mean, isn't that the way it is oftentimes in life? One of the worst things you can do is start sabotaging your own situation. Thinking, God, why did this happen to me? I can't believe it happened again. I can't believe I did that again. Why am I thinking this way? Sometimes I find myself having this voice going on in my head over and over again. And it's saying stuff like, you always do that. When are you going to change? I mean, after all, if you were going to change, you would have changed by now. This is negative thinking. You know, a negative mind leads to a negative life. Oftentimes, we need to take inventory of our past or it's going to show up in our future. If you are like me and you're tired of tripping over the same issue over and over, let's understand this, that you're not alone. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut and we keep tripping over the same issue over and over. And then we're embarrassed to go back to God multiple times about the same thing in fear that he's going to be afraid, that he's going to be upset. He's not. He's there just like the winch on the front of this machine to pull us out. See, when you fall into a rut, God is right there to pull you back out of it. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. That word redeem means bought back, purchased with the price. He said, I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Isn't that incredible? When you're stuck in a rut, it might say, I'll be with you. And though the rivers shall not overflow you, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch upon you. Sometimes when you're in a rut, you think, this is going to absolutely dictate the rest of my life. I'm never coming out of this situation. See, when God helps you, He helps you big time. He begins to rinse your tires clean. Speaking of water, do you know the Bible said that we have the washing of the water of the Word that comes over us? It's exactly what we're going to do to this machine after a while. We're going to take it with some water, and we're going to rinse the wheels, and you're never going to know that it's been through trouble, that it's been through trial. That's what the Word of God does for you. That's what the local church does for you and I. See, when we go to church and we hear God's Word, we renew our mind, and it pulls us out of the rut. When you come out of the rut in your mind, you can come out with the rest of your life. You've heard me say it before, that where the mind goes, the man follows. If your mind's stuck in a negative setting and it's saying, man, you're never going to come out of this situation. You're always going to be this way. I mean, you're too old to restart again. This doctor's report is really bad. Well, if this was up to the natural, yeah, it might be bad. But we have the super on our natural. In other words, God's Word is like a winch, and He brings people like me, like the friends I have with me today. They are pointing me in the right direction. They are pulling and helping me pull out of the woods. I couldn't go at it alone. I've got God, you've got God, and we have good friends around us. I mean, that's how we get out of a rut. We don't have to be stuck in a rut the rest of our life. The rest of our life can be the best of our life when we bring God, His Word, and other people into it with us. You know, when you're stuck in a rut, for sure, keep your sense of humor. You know, I heard about a motorist after being bogged down in a muddy road. He paid a passing farmer $5 to pull him out with his tractor. And after he was back on dry ground, he said to the farmer, he said, at those prices, I think I'd be out here pulling people out of this mud day and night. And he said, well, I can't be out here at nighttime because that's when I come and fill this hole with water. Isn't that a lot like life? I mean, here's the deal. At the end of the day, to get out of this rut, I'm going to have some friends by me to help pull me out. Not somebody trying to water the hole up, muddy the hole up, or take advantage of the situation. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, by yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. That end of that verse in many translations said, a threefold cord is not easily broken. I've found that when you do life alone, it's very dangerous. You get stuck in a rut. You don't have anybody to help you. Nobody can go for help. Nobody can come up with their vehicle and say, I'm going to put a winch on you and I'm going to help pull you out of this trouble and out of this trial. Friendship is a powerful thing. In fact, even in our iConnects, I looked last Tuesday night, we had a service and it was a very powerful service and we dismissed, but then about 200 or 300 people stayed. We kind of call it the unedited version or the extended play version of a service. We kept it going online and we must have went another hour worshiping. It was a very powerful moment. A lot of our Tuesday nights are like that. And at the end, everybody was gone and I saw about 45 of the coolest looking young adults you've ever seen. They were all hanging back together. They were all talking to one another. This was the result of an iConnect group. These young people got together. Some of them are business professionals. Other of them are still in school. And they stick like glue. They're there for one another. They're sharing, hey, I went through this. I went through that. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. As a result, they have these deep relationships that are just totally godly. They're not going at it alone. You know, sometimes when you're younger or maybe you're unadvised, you think, I'm tough. I can't let people know about the problem I'm going through, the adversity I'm going through. Therefore, we're always fronting. Now, I don't have this mud on me. I'm faking it. We've all been in a rut. To pretend that the person next to you is not in a rut or has never been in the rut that you've been in, it's a lie. I mean, you can go to any Starbucks, you can go to Cracker Barrel, you can go anywhere, and there is no difference. The Bible said there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But the enemy tries to single us out, get us alone, take us from the herd, to attack us all at once. So one of the things I think really, I mean, works well about Celebrate Recovery groups and AA, it's all about connection. At the local church, it's all about connection. Today, we're going to talk about some things that I think are going to really help you in the area of getting stuck in a rut, how other people can help you. We're going to get out of here. I'm confident of that. We're stuck right now, but we're coming out. We didn't get in the rut overnight, so certainly we're not going to get out overnight. That's why the Bible says, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. Many times, though, we get stuck in the rut for too long. We get discouraged. We need to encourage ourselves. That's, again, like the story I told you a moment ago. When you get the right friends around you, you know my statement, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Getting out of this rut is not just about me. It's about my friends that are going to help me in a moment. They're going to get down and dirty with me. They're going to hook up their equipment to my equipment, and they're going to pull me out of this thing once and for all. And then I'm going to experience freedom again. I'm going to be free again. I'm going to be out on the run again. I mean, it's just going to, my whole world's going to open up again because I'm not going to stay stuck in the rut. Just say that with me right now. I'm not going to stay stuck in the rut. Come on. That's good. You have what you say. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. We're going to be out of here in no time. I mean, it feels good to be out again. When I went through the greatest trial of my life, you know, I was going through that divorce. I've told you guys about it before. And during that time in my life, I was really thinking that I was the only one going through it. Once I reached out to other people and I said, hey, I need your help. I need to talk to you. The mask came off. Then that's when I really got on the fast track to freedom. I want to let you know that the local church is just that. It's that place, those iConnect groups. It's that place that you can take the mask off and realize you're not alone. God said that he'd provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And oftentimes we quote that as a financial thing, and it certainly is a financial thing. But more than that, your needs, emotional needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. And the local church is the heartbeat of God. It is where you come and I come and we receive freedom from God. And then you're on that fast path out of the woods, back on the right track. The washing in the water of the Word is going to cleanse all this dirt off of you. And a couple years from now, people will look at you, maybe even a year from now, and they'll never, ever believe that you ever had 1 ounce of mud on you. And you look at yourself right now and go, man, I'm stained. I mean, look at this. My boots are stained. My whole life is stained. But listen, all this is fixable. All this is cleanable. We can fix all that, but we got to get our mind right. As I said at the beginning of this talk today, where the mind goes, the man follows. You know, another passage I want us to read is Psalms 119:15. It says, I will meditate upon your precepts. I will respect your ways, the paths of life marked out by your law. See, when we start hearing the Word of God and we start renewing our mind on a daily basis, we start hanging around the right people. You know, right now I can feel and hear the rustling of the trees. The wind is blowing. That's what God is doing in your life right now, is he's blowing you from one season to the next season. In fact, leaves are just flying past the camera right now, and that is what God is doing with you at Faith Church. That's the wind of his spirit. There's noise going on. There's a rustling in the trees. What God is doing is thrusting you into the next level of life and ministry, taking you out of the rut, the lowlands of mediocrity that perhaps have metastasized in your mind, and he's setting you in a new direction. How does he do it? Through the Word. I want to read the scripture to you. Colossians 3:3. It says, and set your minds and keep them set on that which is above. I love that. Keep them set. Oftentimes, you know, electricity goes out, right? And all of a sudden the clock next to the bed is flashing. It came unset. That's what happens with our mind. That's why we got to renew our mind continually through the Word of God. We don't just speak Christianese, right? We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We transfer our thinking out of this world into God's kingdom. Now, we're in this world, and we're not denying that at all, but we're not supposed to be fashioned after making our mind think like we renew our mind through the Word of God, hanging around the right people, renewing our mind with the right Word. That's what it means to keep it set. I love this passage, Psalms 119:15. It says, I will meditate upon your precepts and have respect for your ways, the paths of life marked out by your law. Your law. He's talking about his word that we hide in our heart right now. And I like the way it says, I will meditate. That's what you're doing today. I mean, you came to Faith Church, you're watching online, you're watching it home on television. Why? Because you want, you know inside your spirit that if you're gonna change the way you live, you gotta change the way you think. As a man thinketh, the Bible says, so is he. So by hearing the law of the Lord, by meditating on his precepts over and over, it changes the very path and the course of our direction, and we come out blessed, we come out favored, and we come out with a lot less troubles and problems. Now, I'm certainly not saying that we don't have problems, because we do. Some people say, well, you know, you people that believe in faith don't think you go through problems. No, we go through problems, but the key is we go through. As in other words, when you're going through hell, you don't stop. You keep on trucking. You walk by faith and not by sight. You say, I'm not conformed to this world, but I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. And the renewing of your mind, it only happens. It doesn't happen automatically. It only happens through focus. You go, I'm stuck in a rut right now. I'm in a rut of negative thinking. I'm in a rut of not praying. I'm just in a routine. And in fact, let's pause a minute and think about that. Have you ever gotten a situation where you were working out like crazy and you're like, I don't know why I don't do this. My abs are tight, I feel strong, I'm eating right. And you're like, I'm gonna do this forever. And then something breaks your thought. You get stuck in a thought pattern. You get in a rut and you can't come out. But then all of a sudden, if you get back re-engaged, friends help you get back, maybe a mental mindset comes, the winds change, and now you're back on the fast track, you feel like, I'm in control of my life again. Now here's what I found. Life has seasons. We know we've got winter, spring, summer, and fall, right? So in winter, sometimes we forget about the beauty of spring and the beauty of summer. But there are seasons. And so I've noticed in my life that the seasons are shorter in the sense of my disobedience and inconsistency. The thing I hate about me and the thing that I drop out on and the thing I wish I could change, and man, I always do that. Those things that I hate are happening, they're still happening, but they're happening in shorter seasons. In other words, I don't stay stuck in the rut for long because, Psalms 119 again, I'm meditating on the precepts of God, it's changing the way I'm thinking, so now that I'm changing the way I'm thinking, I'm changing the way I live, so then I start feeling good. Instead of feeling condemned, I start thinking, hey, I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm thinking different, I'm walking different, and yes, I still get stuck in the rut, but I don't stay in the rut. I'm coming out strong, I'm coming out victorious, I'm coming out healed. That only comes through meditation. Let's all shout that, meditation. You know, the Bible talks about it. Joshua said, I'll meditate upon your law continually. Meditation happens. What does meditation mean? It only happens by pondering, contemplation, meditate. You and I sometimes meditate on the wrong thing. We know what it is to meditate because we're like, that dirty rascal. What did he mean when he said that? What did she mean when she said that? I think I ought to, you know what? I should have said this and I should have said that. We're meditating. It's aggravating. It's starting to boil up big. And then when you see that dirty rascal, you go, hey, you know what? I just about had enough of what you, well, our meditation was wrong. Again, when our meditation is right and it's on the Word of God and we renew our mind, then we're not conformed to the world. We're not stuck in a rut. And one of the ways that that happens is through coming to church. Next thing, we've talked about it a lot today, getting involved in an iConnect so somebody can help you, as we saw earlier, pull us out of the rut. Psalms 119, verse 15. I will meditate upon your precepts, have respect for your ways, and the paths marked out by your law. We've got all these various paths out here today. A lot of different paths. Some were muddier than others. Some of those paths we got stuck in. I remember in my own life being stuck in divorce, being stuck in a low level of thinking. I got bound up in a rut that took longer than it should have. But eventually through meditation, Psalms 119, 15, look at it again. I will meditate upon your precepts, have respect for your ways, not my way. Your will be done, God. Then we get out of the path quicker. You know, one of the things I hate about me is I get stuck in the same rut over and over. Anybody? Raise your hand. Let God see that. You get stuck in a way. Now, condemnation comes in. The Bible said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But that condemnation beats me down, and I go, man, surely after all these years, I'm 45 years old. Surely I should have overcome that by now. Let me change your life. This changed this revolutionized everything for me. It got me out of the rut. I started noticing the more I meditated upon the Word of God, the quicker I would come out of the rut. So whereas before I might have stayed in a rut for 3 months or maybe even 6 months, forget it. I'm not working out, so I'm going to start eating bad. Well, I'm not praying, so I'm actually going to be mean too. Anybody know what I'm saying? So now I'm marking it, and I'm noticing through the connectivity of people, through more of the word being in my heart, I'm staying in the rut a lot less time. So I'm celebrating that. I'm congratulating myself. I'm going, way to go, Dave. Where you got down in the dumps for 3 days, now you only went down for a day. But the enemy comes back and goes, you dirty rascal, look what you did. You ought to be further along than that by now. That's focusing on what I'm not instead of focusing on who he is. Now check this out in Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Listen, this new lane that God's got you going into, these new seasons of wind that he blew, some of those people he took out of your life was so that he could trim you so more fruit could be produced in your life. You're getting out of that rut today. You're moving forward into God's favor. God's put people around you that you never had before. Some of you, I think God is tugging at your heart right now saying, listen, this mud that is in your eye, you couldn't see. You've been blind. I mean, I want to do something new in your life, but wisdom has to come forth by the continued teaching and renewing of your mind. That's why we go to church, that's why we get in iConnect groups. We have these people around us to help pull us out of the mud and get us out of the muck into the future that God has for us. You know, they say that confession is good for the soul, and I believe that now. Back when I went through some trouble and trial and heartache, I didn't have anybody to confess to. I mean, I didn't have anybody to talk to. Just like coming up this creek today started washing the mud off the wheels, that's what conversation does. I remember when I went through that trial, went through the divorce, I kind of alienated myself even from the few people that I did love and know, because I saw them kind of as an enemy, because the person who I was divorcing, of course, was saying, they're bad, so therefore now I'm totally alone. Mud's caking up and drying up on the wheels, right? Because I couldn't talk to anybody. Confession is good for the soul. Confessing to God is very good. We should do that. The Bible said in 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, confession is good. Let's all shout that. Confession is good. That's right. Confession to God is good, but confession to other people, not as in like you're telling everybody what's going on, because we all have things we don't really want to talk about. But if we don't talk to somebody, that dirt, that mud, it cakes up all around, all the fibers and the wheel, and it gets just stuck and hard. You know, James 5:16 says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and you will be healed. Running up through this creek today loosens things. It softens things. And I didn't really know that really like I know it today until just a few months ago, actually. Here this year, I met a guy a while back. His name is Pastor Chris Hodges. Great church in Alabama. He's a tremendous man of God. And another guy named Willie George. He's got a great church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And these two guys invited me to go hunting with them on this ranch. And so I went out, not a big hunter at all. In fact, I never went hunting before, but I thought, you know what? I felt like a mule at the Kentucky Derby. I thought, you know, the exposure would be good. And so I hung out with these guys. And day one, it was a little awkward, and day two get a little more friendly and felt more comfortable. So, you know, around day three, we're sitting around this campfire, and Chris looks at me and says, hey David, what's your story? So what do you mean my story? You know, he's wanting to get a little deeper in the conversation. Willie's sitting there too, and so I kind of gave him the shallow Reader's Digest, the elevator speech of me, and he said, no, tell me the real story. He said, every great leader that's ever done anything great for God, basically he was saying, went off the trail. Something bad happened. Somebody came against him. So I said, are you kidding me? So he begins to share with me, Willie does, about somebody that he really loves that actually is in his family, tried to destroy him, was going around town. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my exact story. And before I was kind of thinking, wait a minute, that confession for the soul thing, I'm not sure, because, you know, I think you probably, I don't know if you guys heard that joke where there's three preachers in a boat, right? And the one says, hey, I just want to confess my sins. You know, I got a problem. I'm a liar. I lie a lot. And the next guy said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I hit alcohol too heavy and I abuse alcohol. And they look at Bob and say, Bob, come on, surely there's something. And he said, yeah, there is. I'm a gossip, and I tell everything I know. I'm thinking of that joke going, oh, man, I don't know. And I'm not saying for one second that we should tell everybody everything, or certainly we should never open ourselves up to somebody we don't know. But the question is, who do you know? Who are you accountable to? Who are you hanging out with? The local church is important, but that next step, I mean, if you're not there yet, you've got to get involved in a good Bible-believing local church. We think Faith Church is the greatest church in the world for you to do that, but once you're at church, what are you doing next? Who are you connecting with? Who are you getting to know? Don't do life alone wandering around in the woods. I mean, we read that scripture a moment ago, and jumping to verse 19, it says, my dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back. And you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. I mean, essentially what God is saying to us is, listen, and I connects and in group accountability, it causes you to know in a big setting who's wandered off. I mean, at Faith Church, thousands of people come every week by these iConnect groups, deep relationship are forged. And then when they see, you know, Bob or Susan falling back in the rut and they really love them, they go after them. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. One hand washes the other. We all look out for one another. When we wander away from the faith, we're there. It's an iConnect group. It's a local church. And I think that might be part of the thing you might be thinking today, man, okay, PD, I get you. I mean, I've been watching for a long time, but I've never really made that dedication to say, okay, I'm a Christ follower, but I watch and I love Faith Church, but I don't have time to do that. May I tell you that you don't have time not to do that? You'll be up the wrong creek. You'll be wandering around in the woods. You'll be stuck in a rut, and there's nobody to help you. Then you fall right back in that slippery addiction, that slippery trap that you were in before. I'm begging you today. I know about you because I know you, and I know me. I'm just like you. Jesus was just like you. It said in all points he was tempted, yet without sin. Why did he not sin? He had accountability and communication to God, but he also had this life group around him, this connection group of this 12, where he just talked to them and said, can't you just pray with me 1 hour? I mean, it's all about the connection. Let's all shout that together. It's all about the connection. Come on, one more time. That's right. You got to get connected. That's what makes a big, huge, lonely world a small, intimate setting. Can I tell you something? If I had known years ago what I know right now, going through that deep rut, that valley of depression where I didn't want to share with anybody my feelings, my pain, my shortcomings, what was going on, that kind of stuck me deeper in a rut, caked up all the mud around me. Now I learned something just this very year, watching kind of what goes on at Faith Church with our iConnect groups by people saying, wait a minute, I'm not just going to go to church. I'm going to get deeply involved in an iConnect group and I'm going to get to know people. You know, I think the worst thing you can do is be alone in the woods, just walking around wondering, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And you might be there right now. You just feel like, man, what's the next move? I'm lost. You can be like the children of Israel and spend 40 years or a generation wandering around the same mountain, the same terrain, when God's wanting to take you to the next level. And the way he does that is he brings people into your life. I think I'm that person right now, speaking into you saying, hey, maybe you've been watching on television for a long time. It's time to go to church to be around other people. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while. It's time to get involved in a connection group that allows you to take that mask off. I want to remind you as we close today that God takes mud and makes miracles. In John chapter 9, there was this blind guy, and he'd been blind since his mother's womb. Everybody knew him as the blind guy. Jesus takes mud, puts it on the blind man's eyes, and creates a miracle. He said he can see. People around town were going, isn't that guy that was blind? That's exactly what they're going to say about you. Isn't that the guy or the girl that was stuck in the rut? That's what's going to happen to you. God's going to take this rough terrain that you've been in, this deep rut, and he's going to pull you out. And he's going to do it through his word and through the local church and through deep connections.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We will connect, families grow, lives change.